This is for people that have given up hope, that are in difficulties which overwhelm them and feel they can't go on, that they've given up. This is for them. Keep up the pressure. Don't yield to the tactics of the enemy. Don't be deceived or deflected or intimidated or daunted by the roar of the lion. For we serve the Lion of Judah, who breaks every chain. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Keep your focus. Keep your focus on him who is your deliverer, who is your saviour, who is your healer. Keep your focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Your life is in his hands. Your problem is in your hands. He is in control.
So I have been speaking on the subject of the theme for this year, and that is about the harvest. And the harvest is you and I. The people are the harvest. And I've declared that this year is going to be a year of the harvest, year for the harvest. And not only that, a year that we spend giving thanks to God. So it's two parts. It's the harvest, which is the people, and it's done with thanksgiving unto our God. Because I believe that the more we give thanks to the Lord, as the word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So in everything give thanks. Now some of you might say, how can I give thanks? I'm going through awful situation. But I think it's for us in that awful situation to look at who God is. Because the enemy, like Anne had said this morning, wants to blind us to the things of the Spirit. And he wants to enlarge the situation and the problem and everything that we are going through rather than God. And so what happens is when we allow the enemy to do that in our lives, we fail to see how big our God is because we focus on our situation. But this morning I want to encourage you that the more we thank God, the more we praise God in our situation, in our trial, in our challenging situation, the more we praise God, the more we thank him, the more we will see an outbreak, a breakthrough of God's glorious power in our lives. Because praise brings in God's presence. That's what praise does. And so the enemy tries to silence us because he knows the moment we start praising God, something breaks loose. The Spirit of God begins to work in our lives. So I just want to leave that with you. Let's have a heart of gratitude as we serve God this year. So my text for this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and reading from verse 28. Verse 28 and 29, I have it in the NRSV version. I don't know whether you have that up there. Oh, yeah, okay. So it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks. I like that. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks. Thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Verse 29, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Now, not many talk about God being a consuming fire, but God is a consuming fire. And so, when we see this scripture, it tells us, it says, let us give thanks. Let us give thanks since we have an unshakable kingdom. But not only being thankful, but we ought to be joyful with worship, with a deep reverence before God, be thankful with worship unto our God. Because of this, we have an unshakable kingdom. We belong to an unshakable kingdom. We belong to an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. And, you know, in a kingdom, there is always a king, correct? If you say there's a kingdom, there has to be a king. If there's no king, it's not called the kingdom. There's a king, and you and I are the subjects in the kingdom of God. Jesus, he's the king. You and I are the subjects. And so this got me thinking as to how much do we actually give thanks to God and be grateful for that we are in the kingdom that does not fade away. How thankful and how grateful are we to God that we are in a kingdom that never fades away. Hallelujah. That is not corrupt, nor has this kingdom been built by man, but it is an inheritance that we have received by faith when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Isn't that amazing? We have inherited this kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not man-made. It is not a kingdom that will fade away or pass away. It's an eternal kingdom. And I like the verse that Peter talks about in 1 Peter. He puts it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. And he says this, "And God has reserved," say reserved, "and God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life." What has God reserved for you? The priceless. Priceless. In other words, you cannot put a number on it. Correct? If it is priceless, you cannot put a number on it. You cannot fathom it. You cannot take it anywhere and get it analyzed and put any value because it is priceless. And that is what God is saying here. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of what? Eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I like that. Beyond the reach of change and decay. Praise the name of Jesus. What a kingdom we have. And a kingdom that is eternal. Now it says it's reserved for his children. Now we all are children of God, correct? And we can look at children and say they're all children. But I know who my children are, correct? Because they've come out of my loins, I know who they are. God knows who his children are. All are children of God, but God knows who his sons and daughters are. Because when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, we are not just children per se or children just globally. We become sons and daughters. We become personally related to Jesus. Why? Because we have his presence and his power in our lives. We have an exchange in our spirit man that touches the Spirit of God. And the moment that happens in our lives, we become sons of God or daughters of God, children of God. So there's a difference between being God's children generally and actually and really knowing who our Father is. Because when we acknowledge and know our Father, we are sons and daughters. Correct? Our children acknowledge us. Acknowledge me as their dad because they know I am their dad. They wouldn't go to someone else and say dad because they know and they know that they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I am their father. And when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there won't be any doubt about it. We will know that God is our Father. Why? Because we have had a touch from him. The kingdom of God is priceless and it's reserved for us. Tell your neighbor, that's for you. The kingdom of God is reserved for just for you. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 21. It talks about this. It is in you. The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It's not up somewhere pie in the sky. It is in you. That's where the kingdom is. What does it say? You won't be able to say, here it is, or it is over there, for the kingdom of God is already among us. Hallelujah. Thank God. And when we understand this, even though our body may decay or our situations may change around us, we can be confident. And continuously, we can give thanks for that which is in us, which is the kingdom of God. Amen? We can still give thanks, even though our body might decay, even though disease might get a hold of us. Our spirit man is still alive and connected and fixated on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. And you can still rejoice and give thanks to the Lord. The kingdom of God, it's in all its fullness, cannot be taken away. And it can never, ever decay or rot. It's alive in you and me. We can give thanks for that, can't we? Let's take a moment to say, thank you, Jesus. Can we do that? Few seconds, say, thank you, Jesus. That your kingdom is alive in me. That you are alive in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of us are parents this morning? How would you feel if having done everything for your children, that they were never thankful? They were never thankful for anything you did, but always complained and wanted more. How would you feel? You know, sometimes we are like that with God. We always say, God, I want more. I'm never satisfied. God, you keep giving, and I will keep taking. I will keep taking. Why? Because it's my right to take. It's my right to get. It's my right to have. It's my right to demand. Why should I be thankful? And sometimes we get into that mentality that, God, I deserve this. It's my right to have it. We forget that God is a merciful God. He's a God full of kindness. He's a God full of love. And often he blesses us because, not because of who we are or what we have done. He blesses us because of who he is and not because of who we are. If God blessed us on our merits, we'll be miserable because there'll be nothing in us that will compel God to do anything other than his grace and his love and his mercy that he pours out every day in our lives. So church, we can be thankful this morning because it's not by our efforts, it's not by anything we are or have achieved in the kingdom of God. It is purely by his grace, by his mercy. Let's be a people who just don't demand from God every day, God, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. But let's be a people who are thankful every day and say, God, I thank you for what I have. I thank you for what you blessed me with. Let's bring an offering of praise and thanksgiving unto our God every day. Let's be thankful that our names are written in the book of life or in the Lamb's book of life. What's the Lamb's book of life or the book of life? It contains the names of those who have overcome sin through accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those are the ones who have had a spiritual rebirth. We call it born again in the Spirit. And I'll give you some scriptures for that you can write down if you're taking notes. Revelation 3 and verse 5 talks about that. Revelation 21 and verse 27 talks about that. And Revelation 20 and 15 talks about that. And we know also that not only have our names been written in the book of life, but we have been imprinted or inscribed on the palms of his hands. Hallelujah. We have been inscribed, our names written on the palms of the everlasting arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can say praise God for that. You can shout a shout of praise unto our God. That is how much God is concerned and values you and me, that he's willing to write our names on his hands. Every day he sees us. Every day he looks and he sees us. He sees our situation. He sees us in our good times, in our bad times. And he says, I still love you in the good and in the bad and through every situation, that I will never leave you. Isaiah 49 and verse 16 talks about that. So now when we read 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 4 and 4 to 6, it makes sense. And here it is. Let me read it again. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Verse 5, and God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely to receive it, because you are trusting him. It will be yours in that coming last day for all to see. It will be yours. It makes perfect sense when we read that again, when we understand how much God has blessed us, when we understand how we ought to be thankful to God, we can concur with the scripture and say, God, I thank you for the priceless gift of eternal life. If nothing else, God, I just thank you for the gift of eternal life, because I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have to buy it. And even if I had all the wealth of the world, I could never buy my salvation. I could never buy eternal life, because God gives it to us through Jesus Christ. It is a gift that is given. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, so be truly glad. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Even though the going is rough for a while down here. Be thankful for salvation through Jesus. Be thankful for eternal life in Christ Jesus. For the kingdom of God is in you. Tell your neighbor, the kingdom of God is in you. Now, we are doing a series in church on Wednesdays. And if you want to know more about the kingdom of God, what is it? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God all about? Then come on a Wednesday night and you will know more about what the kingdom of God is. Be thankful for faith. Be thankful for hope. Be thankful for the love of Jesus, knowing this, that the plans that God has for you are good plans. Be thankful that the plans that God has for you has a future and a hope. It has a future and a hope. You know, that's something that we need to rely on and put our faith in and our confidence in. Because when hope is gone, when our faith is weak, and when we are faced with situations, that's the time to speak to ourselves and say, God, I know you have a good plan for my life. When the devil says, your plans are going to naught, your plans are all going in the wrong direction, why should you believe? You come on, it's time to give up. You know, there's no point you're going and listening to this man every Sunday. You know, there's no point in going there, because there's nothing happening in your life that is fruitful. But the Spirit of God will say to you, I am still with you. I am still your God. I'm a God who will never leave you. I'm a God who will never forsake you. And you got to put your trust in me. As it says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge whom? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Jesus. In all your ways. We know it's tough here, correct? You talk to anyone on this earth, I don't think there's anyone for whom life is not tough. Even if you had all the wealth in the world, right? Let's put it that way. Because we think, hey man, a rich man can't have any problems. A rich man has problems. You know what his problem is? Trying to keep his wealth safe. That's his problem. He's trying to keep his wealth safe. So he's worried about it because he has too much. He doesn't want it to be stolen. So everybody goes through challenges. Everybody goes through bad days, rough times. You know why we have challenges? Because the enemy wants to devour us. He wants to steal from us. He wants to kill the joy of the Lord in us. And this happens when we are faced with challenges. But if you flip it over, when you go through a challenge, when you go through a time where you're almost in the valley, because the mountaintop is always nice because you get a nice view. In the valley, you don't see a lot. It's not so bright in the valley. But when you go through the valley, it's the time when you are developed, when you are changed from the inside out, when you build character, when you build something that is more resilient in you, that you're able to withstand that period of time, come through it, and get you back on your feet. That's when you go through the trials. That's when you go through the challenges, because it makes you, it breaks you first, and then it makes you into a better person. A person who's willing to trust God even more. And you look at scripture, you'll see time after time, people, men of God, went through terrible challenges. And you look at the life even of Joseph. He went through terrible challenges. Well, you would think he didn't deserve to go through those challenges. But yet he went through them. And he withstood them, and then he ended up as the most prominent person in the land of Egypt, next to the Pharaoh. But he had to go through the challenges. He had to go through the prison. He had to get into that ditch. He had to go through it. And sometimes we can go through our challenges, and it might feel tough. It might be a time when time of desperation. But let me encourage you, in that time of desperation, don't look at yourself, but look at the one who has healed you, the one who has saved you, the one who's given you eternal life, the one who shed his blood for you. Look at him when you go through those situations and say, God, even though my body might perish, even though my challenges are here, I will still worship you. I will still look to you. I will still have a shout of praise on my lips. Although it might be tough for me to do that, but God, I will even whisper saying, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this about trials. It says this: these trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. What does the fire do? It tests, it refines, it purifies. If your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of the fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return. So we know that trials are part of life, correct? You cannot live life without the challenges. It is part of life because it talks about it here. But it says, if our faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return. I want us to be a church that are strong and not afraid of trials and challenges, but a church that can face it head on and push through without giving up or vacillating or wavering in our faith. That's what I want the church to be. The church is you and me. Tell your neighbor, that's you. He's talking about you and I. We are the church. I want a church that is strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, who, having put on the whole armor of God, are well able to eyeball the enemy and destroy his schemes, destroy his plans, and destroy his maneuvers, and are able to withstand all the fiery darts of the enemy, because the fiery darts of the enemy will come, and having done all, to stand. I want a church of people who are able to stand and withstand, and having done all, they still stand. Now that takes some guts. That takes some courage. And courageous people push through in life. You and I can be courageous this morning because we are not alone on this journey. We have the Holy Spirit with us on this journey of faith. So we can take courage this morning and be enriched and edified this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Shout a praise unto our God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I think sometimes we need to just break out in some praise. We are too quiet as God's people. We're too quiet as believers. Don't you think? We've become silent believers. Ain't good for anyone. We got a people who have a shout in us, who have praise on our lips. Like the psalmist says, "My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name." How many times do we lift up our hands when we come into the congregation of God's people, where we lift up our hands and say, "God, I bless your name. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord." And that comes with a shout of thanksgiving and praise, with our hands lifted up, with our mouths filled with praise. You know, these scriptures have meaning. They have purpose. That's why the psalmist wrote them. He said, "If you are willing to lift up your hands and have a shout of praise in your mouth, I tell you, your soul, your presence in you, the thing that you're going through will seem so insignificant." Why? Because your focus is taken off that insignificant that seems significant at the time, and your focus is now, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be on my lips. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I called on the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Therefore, I will bless the Lord with all my heart. I will bless the Lord with all my soul. I will bless the Lord with all my strength, because the Lord is my song. He is my deliverance. He is my shade on my right hand. The Lord who will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night, 24 hours a day. The Lord upholds me. He keeps me. He sustains me. And the God I know never fails me. So what are we shy about? What are we bashful about? What are we silent about, church? Come on, get some fire in your belly. Get some zing in your wing, or whatever you call it. Put something in there. Don't stay silent. Don't stay silent. Be thankful. Put it in there. Don't focus on your pathetic situation. We all go through situations in life. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the one who can look after you, who can do something about it, who can bring you out of it. Come on. We need some people. A church that is strong in the power of God. Strong in the power of God. How do we receive this heart of gratitude? It comes by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin is, what is sin? It's missing the mark of God's standard. That's what sin is. God has a standard for us in our lives. We have missed the mark of God's standard. Romans 6, we know that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages, the penalty, the currency for sin or the pay, whatever you want to call it, is death. Simple. There's no complication in that. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's why in the scripture we read can't remember which passage, but it says, somebody might know this. It says, here is life and death. Choose, I think it's in Numbers. Here is life and death. Choose life. Why would one choose death? And I some people who go around wearing skulls. Putting skulls on their heads, putting skulls on their body. Why would anyone celebrate death? I don't understand. When the Bible talks about the gift of eternal life, who would want death? Oh, praise you, Jesus. The message doesn't end there. Christ died for us. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates. In other words, He showed us this, that while we were still in our sin, while we were yet in our sin, Christ Jesus died for you and for me. Jesus died in our place. Not only that, 3 days later, He rose up from the dead. Hallelujah. He rose up, conquering sin and death. Now that is great news, isn't it? That's great news, that Jesus didn't remain in that tomb. Hallelujah. The scripture says, for by grace you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not by works. It is the gift of God. No one can boast about that because they haven't bought it. It's a gift that God gives you. You can depend on Jesus. This morning, you can depend on the giver of life. He didn't die in vain. Jesus died for you and me. It was not in vain. He died for the whole world. It was not in vain. People are yet to recognize that. Even some of the Jews are yet to recognize that. But they will. Because God will reveal it. People will know. You see, the scripture says, sin abounds, but where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So let's not be disappointed. Let's not be despondent. Because wherever you think there is sin, everything is going the wrong way, God says, no, my grace abounds more. My grace is more sufficient for you. And that's as Paul said, even though I have this problem or this thorn in my side, that's the one, thorn in the flesh, God, I know your grace is sufficient for me. Let's be a people who say, God, I thank you, your grace is sufficient for me. Let's pray this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Now, my prayer this morning is that this word that has come to you. See, when I had this word, I think I got it on Tuesday or Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I think, yeah. See, God gives a word because we need to hear His word. And we might be, I think all of us here, we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I don't see anyone who is not a believer here this morning. So we are believers. Can we agree on that? But you know, as believers, we go through situations, trials, tribulations, problems of one nature or another. If you ask anyone here, there's no one who will say, I have no problems. We all face situations. The question is, how and what do we do in our situation? What do we do? Do we turn to ourselves? Do we look to ourselves? Do we look to man for an answer? Do we keep away from the Word of God? The Word of God is powerful, yeah? Hebrews 4 tells us, for the Word of God is swift and powerful. But you know what the devil says? Don't read the Word. Your problem is greater. Your situation is greater. This Word can't help you. Go to Auntie Flossie. She might be able to help you. Or go somewhere else. They might be able to help you. Now, there are situations where Auntie Flossie can help. Or somebody else can help. But the situation with the heart and with your life, nobody can help you with that. Only God can help you. And the only way that you know who God is and how powerful it is, He is when you get into His Word. And when you read from His Word, faith arises. So this morning, I just want to address those who are, that's all of us really, who are going through situations and problems. I go through it as well. I'm not devoid of it. But you know, my only anchor, my only hope is getting into the Word of God and saying, God, in this hopeless situation, I'm still going to read Your Word. I'm still going to shout a shout of praise unto You, my God. And if I can do it, so can You. If I focused on every problem that hit me, and believe you me, they do, I'd be a wretched man. I'll have no zing in my wing, no fire in my belly. I would have given up by now. But you don't win battles by giving up. You don't cross the finish line by giving up. You only do that by persevering, by pushing through. And life, God never promised us a bed of roses. He didn't. Nowhere in Scripture. Do you see that? He says, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. This morning, church, I want us to focus in our time of desperation. I want us to focus and anchor in to the Word of God. I want you to anchor in to the Word of God, even if it is just Psalm 91, Psalm 23, Psalm 64, Psalm 51, where David cries unto the Lord. Let's be a church that doesn't run here, there, and everywhere. Run off to some other church or some other person or somewhere else. Let's run to the Word of God. Let's run to the Book of Life. Because here is our answer. Here is your answer. As we sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I want us individually to pray this morning, this afternoon. I want to look back in your life, and if you're going through a problem, a situation, something that's unbearable, I want you to right now say, God, here is my situation. I'm not focusing on that. I'm going to focus on you and eternal life and all that you provided for me. I'm going to somehow study your word. I'm going to somehow read your word. I'm going to somehow pray. I'm going to somehow praise my God. Can we do that as we sing?
God, flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Let's lift up our hand unto Lord Jesus.
Place and